welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today, we continue our coverage of coronavirus, including the economic impacts of the pandemic and the partial reopening of some Florida businesses. We'll hear from the mayors of the two largest cities in the Tampa Bay area. And later on in the show, we'll take your calls. The number is 813-239-9663. The email is dj@wmnf.org. or text 813-433-0885. Before we hear from Tampa Mayor Jan Castor and St. Petersburg Mayor Rick Kreisman, I want to let you know about a coronavirus survey. Hillsborough County is surveying its residents about what kind of information they have and might need about government services and COVID-19. In the anonymous online survey, residents will be asked things like, is there anything preventing them from getting a coronavirus test? And do they need information about accessing social services? Late last month, I interviewed Terry Cordoba Hewitt. She's the insight and consumer analyst for Hillsborough County.
The survey is really to help us figure out how to best communicate with our citizens throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. It is important for us to gather data so we can really develop some data-driven strategies and communications for people that are going through this. There's a couple ways that people can find the survey. The survey is in Spanish and in English, and they can take it online or they can take it via text. So for the text, what they need to do is text the word stay safe to 73224. Or if they want to take it in Spanish, they can text the words stay safe español all together to 73224. If they want to take it online, they just have to go to hcfl.gov.net/stay safe input. And then there, they're able to take it in Spanish and in English.
What kinds of questions are on that survey?
So we're asking a lot of knowledge-based questions and behavioral questions. So things like, what would prevent you and your family, if you are not feeling well, to be tested for COVID-19? We're asking things, what would prohibit you from wearing a mask in public? Things that we think people know, but it's important to kind of re-educate and reiterate. How many feet should you stay away from one another when practicing social distance? And it may sound silly, but not everybody knows that answer. So it's important for us to educate and also get feedback from them. That would be helpful to us to better communicate and provide resources to our community.
When will you have survey results back?
Right now, the length of time is 8 weeks. We're going to run the survey for 8 weeks. That is not concrete and set in stone. If we feel that we're not getting data that is useful for us to be able to serve our citizens better, we might have it run a little bit longer. So we're going to have to see, but right now it is 8 weeks. And we are taking the data, you know, our first day that we launched the survey, within an hour, we had close to 1,000 people who were already participating. We have close to 8,000 participants right now. So we have a lot of really rich data to help us figure out some of the questions, you know, that are keeping us up at night. You know, why are people not getting tested? What's the best resource that we can provide to them and information? So we have a lot of really statistical data that will help us to make some really good decisions.
We're speaking with Terry Cordoba Hewitt from Hillsborough County about the county's communication survey about COVID-19. What are the most interesting things you found out so far?
You know, it still is a little too soon. We're actually going through all the data. We started going through it last night and throughout the weekend. So we'll have, you know, some updates that, you know, some good data to make some decisions, hopefully by next week, to start kind of seeing what kind of information we should put out and resources. But things like, for example, and this is just, you know, day one when we took the survey, again, it is in Spanish, and the folks that answered the survey in Spanish, when asked what would prohibit you from wearing a mask, we got a large percentage of people saying, I don't know how to make a mask. So one of the things that we're doing is we're actually creating a YouTube video that's going to be available to our residents in Spanish on how to make a mask. So those are the things that, you know, those are the insights that we're looking for, again, to just better serve our community and help people and provide information for those who are needing information.
Does your survey ask people questions about their medical conditions, what their symptoms might be, whether a person has been tested for coronavirus, or about who they've been in contact with?
No, not at this time. It does not. It is more, we're looking at what kind of information people are looking for from a communications perspective and the resources that they're looking for. So at this moment, it does not provide that information, no.
What are survey respondents saying about the tension between staying socially isolated versus reopening the county?
At the moment right now, we're seeing more comments that are coming back saying, let's not reopen things too quickly. That's at the moment, but things can change. I mean, the survey's still, you know, we just launched it this week, but we are getting comments such as that. So that would be really interesting to us to have that information. But like I said, it's just, you know, we just launched this week. So we want to get through a week of it and look at all the data before we kind of start making some assumptions or decisions. It does not ask that question. No, it asks the question, what are your main concerns, your household main concern at this moment while we're going through COVID-19 pandemic? And then we have multiple choices. And some people have made comments such as, I've lost my job, I'm worried for my income, things like that. But it doesn't ask specifically, you know, if you have lost your job, if you have been laid off. One of the questions that we asked in the survey, we asked for symptoms. Do you know the symptoms of COVID-19? We're not asking symptomatic questions. We're asking questions such as, if you're not feeling well, would you or your loved one be willing to be tested for COVID-19? But we're not getting into medical questions. Again, it's more of what kind of resources, communications can we help to provide to our citizens that would help them, such as the how to make a mask video in Spanish. Or, you know, if we notice that we get a lot of people that, for example, are saying social distancing is 3 feet versus 6 feet, we may want to reeducate the community about that. So those are the things that, you know, the data that we're pulling that's helped us to just develop more data-driven communication strategies.
Have you been in contact with your colleagues in neighboring counties? Are they doing similar surveys?
So you're correct. So we've launched a survey countywide. I know that other counties have launched surveys, but that is something that we want to do, have communications with them and see just see what kind of data they're pulling as well. Because I think it will be interesting for all of us to be able to see that or at least talk, have a conversation about it for sure.
Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
You know, I will tell you, we've gotten a lot of participants. Like I said, we're close to over 8,000 participants. We have about, last time I checked, it was 172,000 comments. And then we have about 4,200 open comments. So it's a lot of really good data for us to go through. Happy and in shock at the same time that we've gotten so much feedback. So it's, you know, it's a great thing for us to be doing. Again, it's important for us to really provide the resources and the information that people are needing at this time. Because we can all of us have hypotheses of what we think people are looking for, but we need to ask our citizens what they're looking for. So this is providing us with that information.
Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
The survey is both in English and in Spanish. People can text the word stay safe all together to 73224, or if they want to take it in Spanish, stay safe español to the same number, 73224. To take it online, they can visit hcflgov.net/staysafeinput. And on that page, they can either take it in English or there's a button for them to take it in Spanish as well.
Thank you for joining us on WMNF.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's Terry Cordoba Hewitt, the Insight and Consumer Analyst for Hillsborough County. Their coronavirus survey is at hcflgov.net/staysafeinput. You're listening to WMNF 88.5 FM, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota. This is Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. WMNF is excited to be participating in Giving Newsday. It's a campaign to bring our neighbors together to subscribe, give, and amplify as they can to support our newsroom's coverage, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. You know how Rob and all our news and public affairs programmers have remained committed to our community, working tirelessly to provide you with essential coverage to keep the Tampa Bay area safe and informed. Just like you, the impact this pandemic has had on our team affects their health, finances, and routine, but we're persevering and remain committed to our public service. That's why tomorrow on Giving Newsday, we'll ask our listeners to donate at WMNF.org because you care about news and public affairs on WMNF Tampa. You're listening to 88.5 FM in St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Tampa. This is Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. We turn now to the mayors of the two largest cities in the Tampa Bay area. In a few minutes, we'll be joined live by St. Petersburg Mayor Rick Kreisman. That's when we'll take your calls at 813-239-9663. You can email DJ at WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885. Please sign your name. Right now, we turn to an interview I did on Friday with Tampa Mayor Jane Castor. She's a member of Hillsborough County's Emergency Policy Group.
Well, actually, we are on the downward side. You know, we've hit the peak, which was back in the beginning of April, I believe, April 5th, around there. And it's a little confusing for a lot of people because our cases continue to rise while we're saying we're on the downward trend, but it's proportional to the number of tests that have been run. So we've really ramped up the testing. According to Dr. Lockwood from USF Medical School, we need to have 2,240 tests a day. And so we're a ways away from that, but we're trying to get more and more testing done. And one, to get an accurate picture of the virus in our community, but also as we start to open up, to ensure that we'll be able to identify any surges.
And would you say that Tampa and the area in general has been able to flatten the curve? And if so, why?
Yes, actually, we've done very, very well. You know, the reason why I don't know that anybody can say definitively. I believe that it's because of the actions of our citizens. We put a safer at home order in place pretty quickly. And our citizens understood the level of personal responsibility and that they had to stay home, they had to stay 6 feet away from each other, and they had to take those simple disinfecting steps. And I believe they've done a very, very good job of that. So as a result, we've been able to lower that curve down. But also, one of the things that I try to caution everyone with is that this is not the flu. You know, we're not going to get over this and then start next winter with another flu season. Once we open up, we are going to have more cases because this virus is highly contagious and it's very, very easily transmitted, and it is silent in a number of cases. And so we're going to have more of those. So we've put a series of procedures in place so that we'll be able to identify any surges that we have, and we'll be able to get the services, the testing, and the services needed to those areas very quickly.
We're speaking with Tampa Mayor Jane Castor on WMNF in Tampa. And Mayor Castor, some of the restrictions will be loosening. Your safer at home order ends Monday. Are you worried that there could be more cases?
Of course. Yes, of course I'm worried. But, you know, I have responsibility to keep all of our citizens safe and healthy, but I also have a responsibility towards our economic health as well. And so, you know, I believe that this is a thoughtful opening, very, very gradual, and it is grounded in the data from the medical community. And so by being slow, if there is an uptick in cases, we'll be able to ratchet back quickly and handle it in that way. One of the things that I want to caution is those who are in those high-risk categories need to stay at home. And we need to ensure that those individuals that are in the high-risk categories, such as long-term care, that we continue to be incredibly rigid with our protective measures in those locations, because we've seen across the nation that this virus can get in particular areas and spread very, very quickly.
In a minute or two, you mentioned we might have to ratchet things back. And by that, what you would mean is place restrictions on things that have been reopened.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we hope not to have to do that. You know, we're opening up a number of our parks, and we're going to open up beaches, and we're going to have our code enforcement officers and our police officers out, you know, throughout the community, and they will be educating and encouraging individuals to not gather in large groups, to adhere to the 6 foot distancing, to wear facial coverings whenever. I cannot stress that enough. Someone just showed me a photograph from the pandemic in 1918, the Spanish flu, and it was a group of individuals all standing there, women and men, that all had face coverings on, and one of the men was holding up a sign that said, wear a mask or go to jail. Now, we haven't gotten to that point, but you know, that the two things that will really stop the spread of this are that physical distancing from one another, but the facial coverings when you're just not able to have that distance.
Mayor Castor, you were the only member of the EPG the other day to vote against removing the safer at home orders, but now you say you're okay with that. Were you disappointed that you were the only person who voted to keep the safer at home orders in?
Yeah, no, I think that we should have left the safer at home order in place, because while what the governor is doing is very thoughtful, I agree with that plan. The safer at home is not in conflict with what the governor did. And I didn't see any need whatsoever to remove that safer at home order right now. So clearly the rest of the board didn't see it that way. And, you know, maybe they are correct. And I hope that's the case. But we will, again, we will open up very slowly, very thoughtfully, and we'll continue to monitor the number of cases in our area and take action very swiftly so we don't have any mass spread.
Two of the ways to monitor the cases, one would be testing, which you've already addressed. You're saying we're ramping up testing. But the other is contact tracing, where
yes.
What's the importance of contact tracing, but also what is the city of Tampa and the community doing about ramping up contact tracing?
That's a very important element, the contact tracing. So say I take the test, it comes back positive. So you need to find out who I have been in contact with, go out and talk to those individuals, test them, and then quarantine if necessary. So you can stop that spread by doing the contact tracing of individuals that test positive for the virus. So that is very important. That program is being run through the Hillsborough County Health Department by Dr. Holt. And I believe that it's in partnership with USF, and they're using volunteers from USF Health, approximately 200 individuals that they intend to deploy to do this contact tracing. The second element is the syndromic surveillance. In essence, what that does is it allows us to geo-map all of the cases, all the positive test results, the neighborhood, the location that those positive tests came from will be entered on a map, as will the locations of individuals that present to either a doctor's office or an emergency room with the symptoms of COVID-19, and we'll be able to put those out as well. And then also, Hillsborough County, in cooperation with USF, have put a survey on Hillsborough County's website that I would like encourage all of your listeners to go on and take that survey, because we will map those results as well, and it will ask them if they have any symptoms, signs, those kind of things. So through that mapping system, we should be able to identify hotspots as they pop up and go out and address them immediately, you know, as opposed to allowing it to spread and present itself at the hospital when it's too late. Another area that we're looking at is density risk, and that's horizontal and vertical. Think of a condominium or apartment complex that goes up and you know, hundreds of people every day using the elevator, touching the same surface, those kinds of locations, or horizontal density in some, you know, close living arrangements that we have in a number of complexes throughout our community too. So we're looking at all of those elements on the medical side as we slowly open our community back up.
What are some of the restrictions that the governor's order still leaves in place?
They still leave in place. No bars will be open. Still, anything that necessitates contact, you know, barbershops, beauticians, massage therapists, those types. Really, it is the retail and restaurants. They're allowed to open at 25% capacity. We have been working all day last night and all day today, and we'll be working the entire weekend on a program. It's 25% capacity indoors. So what we're looking to do to help restaurants, because for some of the restaurants, opening at 25% capacity does them no good. There's no profit margin there. And so we're looking at a process by which we could close down streets in some neighborhoods or allow the restaurants to use a segment of a parking lot and set up outdoor seating with the appropriate distance separation and allow individuals to come there. We're also going to have a facial covering requirement for all of the restaurant workers in the city of Tampa as well.
Mayor Castor, is there anything else that you want the residents of Tampa or our listeners throughout the Tampa Bay area to know?
Right. Well, I just want everybody to know, I saw a great quote the other day that was attributed to someone in the armed services, and they said, this isn't the end. It isn't the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning. And so please don't let your guard down. You have to take the necessary precautions. Wear face coverings when you're out and about in public. Maintain 6 foot distance separation. Wash your hands, disinfect surfaces. Continue to take those steps. Work from home if you can. We're not bringing anybody back into the office. And I don't think that any other businesses plan to loosen up their work from home operations. But again, stay home whenever possible. And we will get through this, and we will be much, much stronger as a result.
Tampa Mayor Jane Caster, thank you so much for coming on WMNF. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Tampa Mayor Jane Caster in an interview I did Friday afternoon. It's 12:27 in the afternoon, and you are listening to WMNF's Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canan, and you can email me at dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. In a moment, we'll be joined by St. Petersburg Mayor Rick Kreisman, and we'll take your calls. According to the Florida Department of Health website updated this morning, there are now nearly 36,900 positive coronavirus cases in the state. 1,399 people have died in Florida. More than 6,100 people are hospitalized. That's a number that continues to grow. There are almost certainly more cases because not everyone is tested, and fewer than 446,000 out of Florida's 21 million people have been tested. Of those, about 92% of the tests come back negative. And in Hillsborough County, there have been 1,300 positive cases with 29 deaths. In Pinellas, 784 with 42 deaths. And today, the Hillsborough County Emergency Policy Group reminded residents that the governor's new executive order still requires residents to limit personal interactions outside the home, but it does allow conditional reopening of certain activities, stores, restaurant feeding, and some cultural facilities. And the governor's executive order does not prevent local governments from being more restrictive. And so we'll talk to the mayor of one of those local governments in just a second, because joining us on the phone right now is St. Petersburg Mayor Rick Kreisman. I want to thank you so much for coming on WMNF's Midpoint, Mayor Kreisman.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you're joining us today. So what can you tell us about how bad the coronavirus is in St. Petersburg and in Pinellas right now?
Well, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job, I think, by being very proactive on the front end and putting safer home restrictions into place pretty early. In fact, I think St. Petersburg was the first community in the Tampa Bay area to do that. And I really believe between us being proactive as a government and the county following suit with us and partnering with us, and our residents, by and large, following the rules and staying home and keeping a safe social distance, the result of that is our statistics are looking pretty good right now. You know, we still have and have seen, unfortunately, you know, an increase in cases. And in the last couple of days, we've seen I think 9 cases in Pinellas County and 7 in St. Pete, and we're unfortunately at 41 deaths, which you know, even if we were one death, it's one too many. But on the good news side of it, the percentage of positive tests, which is really the big indicator that I am paying particular attention to, is dropping, and that's good.
Is that mostly because of more and more people are getting tested now? And my follow-up to that is, are enough people getting tested?
Yeah, what I like about looking at the percentage of positive tests is it isn't impacted by the number of tests being given. It's actually by how many of those are coming back positive. So just as an example, I'm looking at a span right now on the state of Florida Department of Health's website that is a day-by-day from the 19th of April to the 2nd of May. And the two of the days where you had the highest number of people tested, you had percentages of positive tests that were actually lower than days where you had less tested. So just as an example, on the 27th of April, we had 404 people tested. 27 came back positive, which is 6.3%. On the 23rd of April, we had 714 people tested, but only 16 came back positive, which is 2.2%. And so I think the reason that you're seeing the percentage of positive tests staying at this low number, or certainly lower than what the average is in the state of Florida, is because of all the work that we as a county, and certainly here in my city, in St. Pete, that we as a city have done to really get people to follow the safer at home rules and guidelines and social distancing, to voluntarily wear masks, things like that, that really help contain the spread of the virus.
Our guest is St. Petersburg Mayor Rick Kreisman. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. It's 12:32 in the afternoon, and this is Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canan. Mayor Kreisman, today was the first part of the stage one of reopening Florida. What are you seeing in St. Petersburg as far as businesses opening? And I've seen some photos at the beaches. Are beaches or businesses getting crowded this morning?
I haven't heard any reports thus far of issues with our businesses yet. And hopefully that holds true. I know that, just on the conversations that I had had with individual restaurateurs that we'd had through my conversations with my advisory group members, there were a number of businesses who were really struggling to decide whether they were even going to try and reopen because they had concerns that at 25% of capacity indoors, that it might make it hard financially for them to be able to afford to open their doors. And so we are looking at other things that we can do that continue to balance the health and safety of our residents with trying to help our businesses, in addition to, of course, our Fighting Chance Fund, but to try and see if we can figure out ways of allowing them to have a little bit more, I don't want to say capacity, because the capacity can't go above 25% indoors, but potentially with some additional outdoor seating. That would allow them to have more patrons and then generate some additional dollars that might make more sense for them. You know, I have seen those photos, too, of the beaches. And certainly, in St. Pete, we have very few beaches. But the ones that I've seen that are along the Gulf Coast, they're certainly concerning. And I think the sheriff is going to have his hands full at enforcing the social distancing guidelines out there.
Do you have any concerns about the pace of reopening in Florida and in Pinellas County? Do you expect that in a couple of weeks we'll see an uptick in new cases?
You know, I think that the first step that was taken by the governor and as a city, are currently following that, and the county is too, although I will be speaking with the county administrator later in the day just to talk about whether we believe anything additional over and above what the governor has put in place ought to be considered. I think they were a reasonable first step. I might have done things a little differently than the governor did as far as restaurants and retail being a little bit more concerned with the 6 foot than the percentage. But having said that, I think there are some recommendations we're probably going to make to our residents that won't be in the form of an order that will be mandatory, but things that we think, as we call it, the St. Pete way, that if we continue to do certain things like masks have not been mandated, but we certainly want to encourage, and we are going to encourage any business to have your staff wear masks, that as members of the public, when we're out, that we ought to wear masks also. Anything that we can do to help, really limit the spread so we don't get community spread and we don't get a surge on our hospitals, we want to do. If I had any concerns at all, I've heard some rumors and I haven't confirmed anything, but that the second phase that the governor intends on putting in place might be fairly soon. And, you know, I from my perspective, it needs to be data-driven. It needs to be based on what we're seeing related to the number of cases, our capacity in our hospitals, our testing capacity, and our contact tracing capacity.
And we're speaking with Mayor Rick Kreisman. He's the mayor of St. Petersburg. And Tampa Bay Times surveyed 7 public health experts. 5 of them said that even if the Reopen Florida plan is a good approach, it's still too soon to deploy. I hope I'm not asking the same question twice, but do you agree with 5 of the 7 health experts that they interviewed that it might be too soon to do some of these reopenings?
I think it really depends on what we're talking about. I mean, when it comes to restaurants and retail, I think with social distancing and certainly, again, with additional precautions that all of us can take, I think it can be done safely. Certainly, anyone who is at risk or is in a high-risk category really needs to think twice if you work at one of those places, at going back to work, and if you're a patron, you're certainly still better served by staying home as much as you can, only going out if there's for essential needs, if you need to at all. I think that's really important. You know, gyms, events, things of that sort, which are, and bars, which are not currently permitted to open, or events that are permitted to happen, I think is absolutely appropriate. It is not time to do those things yet. I don't think the numbers support that. But I, again, looking at our indicators, and I had set out 4 indicators that were important to me in St. Pete, for me to have a level of comfort in this next step taking place, and that was that we had consistency in our testing over, you know, a 2-week period where the percentage of positive tests weren't going up. They were staying the same, but not going down. And we have that, where our hospitals have capacity in their beds and ICU beds that are available. And we have that, where testing is made more available, and that everyone who is symptomatic can get testing. We feel confident that that exists currently, and that plans are being put in place for contact tracing to be increased, and that's happening too. So that gives me a greater level of comfort. And from the medical experts that I've met with and talked with, those were the indicators that they said we ought to be paying attention to.
Our guest is Rick Kreisman, the mayor of St. Petersburg. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. And this is WMF Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. It's 12:39 in the afternoon. So you've talked a little bit so far about testing, a lot about testing. But another key to getting a good handle on the infection rate is to have contact tracing, where people are essentially hired to follow the contacts of all the people who have tested positive. How is St. Petersburg or Pinellas County doing when it comes to contact tracing?
Yeah, we're working in partnership with the county. You know, the county has the health authority, and so we partner with them. And in fact, I was just briefed this morning by our emergency operations director, who is in constant contact with the county's health department and with Dr. Cho, the director of that department. And they feel confident with the contact tracing program they have in place. However, they also have indicated, and we've encouraged this also, that the program be stepped up and increased. You know, Hillsborough County and what they've done over there with their contact tracing program is a good model that I think we're on this side of the bay going to be hopping. It's the county in partnering with education over in Tampa. It's USF Medical. So some of that over here, partnering with our hospitals. And so I think you're going to see a more robust contact tracing program that's going to be standing up within the next week or two here in Pinellas County. And I think that'll give us much more confidence as, you know, as we go through the reopening process, I mean, with it starting today, you know, typically if somebody is going to be symptomatic, it typically takes about 9 to 10 days. And so at that point in time, we certainly are, it's our expectation to have a more robust program. So the timing would work out perfectly.
And I want to kind of pivot a little bit to the state's unemployment system, which has failed a lot of Floridians. Thousands and thousands have tried to apply for benefits now that they have lost their jobs, and a lot of them are having difficulties. There's some people who have been suggesting that quickly reopening restaurants, like is happening today, is just a way to keep people from needing to apply for the unemployment system, to kick people off the unemployment rolls as almost a logistical response. What are your thoughts on that argument?
Yeah, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for, you know, what the governor's intentions were, what his thoughts were, or anyone else for that matter. I know for me and for our city, that's the last thing we were thinking of. It's all about balancing the health, safety, and welfare of our community with the economic impact. And from our perspective, if we weren't convinced that we could start a reopening and do so in a way that protected the health and safety of our residents, we would not be encouraging it. Right now, we would be putting policies in place that be signed in an order that is more restrictive than that of the governor, which under his order, I'd have the authority to do. So, you know, the fact that there are so many on unemployment and that are struggling, I think is, it's unfortunate that, you know, the state, and this started under Rick Scott when he was governor, you know, that system was really gutted. You know, and then when the new governor took over, he really did not take the steps necessary to make that system robust so that if it was needed, it would function the way it's supposed to. And clearly, people are suffering because of that.
Our guest is Rick Kreisman, the mayor of St. Petersburg. We're talking about coronavirus reopening the state, and we're also talking about the unemployment system that's broken in Florida. And I would like to know, how much of an economic hit do you expect St. Petersburg to take from this coronavirus emergency, and how long do you think the budget will take to recover?
Yeah, we know that we're going to get hit kind of twice, once for this budget year. And then the upcoming budget year, which right now we are in the process of putting that budget together, and it's a really difficult process normally, but it's the difficulty has been significantly increased because we don't have any certainty as to what the impact to our revenues are going to be, and that makes it really difficult to try and figure out, you know, how much do you have available to fund and what programs can you continue funding, you know. And so that's really the big challenge that we've got right now is we're trying to work on the FY21. Fortunately, a lot of our revenues we've already received for this budget cycle, so we'll be able to respond and address any shortfalls a little easier in the FY20 than I think in the 21 budget. We've also, quite frankly, done a really good job, and it's a real credit to my budget and finance department, in putting money away in reserves and really putting in our city in a position where, you know, if a crisis did occur such as this, we are able to come out of it in fairly decent shape. And that's not to say we aren't going to lose millions of dollars in revenues, but at least we have reserves that we had set aside for emergencies like this that help us get through this problem.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman from St. Petersburg, and we're going to take some calls in just a second. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-9663.
0885. So, Mayor Kreisman, let's take a couple of calls. We have Richard in Tampa. And, Richard, can you, I should tell this to anyone who calls in, please keep your questions short because we might get a little bit of feedback. So, Richard in Tampa, what would you like to say?
To the mayor, I'd just like to ask him about the parks and the, like, Furrier Park and some of the parks around the city. If you're going to open up the tennis courts and the racquetball courts, and that's my question.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, so the parks, our parks themselves, we did not end up closing. And I know that was a little different from what occurred on the other side of the bay over in Tampa. But we did end up having to close our tennis courts, our pickleball courts, our dog parks a couple weeks ago. And we ended up doing that because we were having issues with social distancing and those people who were using those facilities, and it was every week we were getting complaints, and it got to a point we finally pulled the plug on those. We are looking at a date in the next couple weeks to potentially reopen those. We just want to see how things go this week. I think what happens this week and how well people follow the guidelines that have been put in place that are allowing the restart, how people do it this weekend in our existing parks and in our businesses will go a long way at letting us know whether we feel comfortable at reopening some of those other city facilities or whether we just need to keep them closed a little longer than we had planned.
All right, thanks for that call, Richard. And I'm going to quickly read this email from the city of Tampa. They've reopened some of their parks and recreation and dog parks. Angus Goss Dog Park, Curtis Hickson Waterfront Park, Davis Islands Dog Park, Gadsden Park, Giddens Park, Julian B. Lane Riverfront Park, New Tampa Rotary Dog Park, and a few other, Picnic Island Dog Beach. So they're opening some of their dog parks and beaches today. You know, that's an email we just got from the city of Tampa. And you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. It's 12:48 in the afternoon. You're listening to Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan. My guest is the mayor of St. Petersburg, Rick Kreisman. And we're going to take a call after I read this quick email from Karen in Dunedin. She says, I drove down Dunedin Causeway this morning. Beaches were not overly crowded, but the path along the beach, there was no social distancing going on and no masks. So thank you for that email from Karen. Let's try Fred, who is calling in. Hi, Fred. What would you like to ask quickly?
Hey, hi, Sean and Mayor Kreisman. I want to preface this by saying, Mayor, I think you've done a good job as mayor, and I support everything you do. My question is, as you know, St. Pete and the surrounding area, South Pinellas, North Pinellas, is flooded with nursing homes. And I'd like to know if you have any input on what's being done to survey the nursing homes and see what's going on. Because we know it nationally, nursing homes are a place where, and my wife was in one, that's why I'm calling. If you know if the nursing homes around St. Peter are being surveilled so we can find out what's going on and to correct it. Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Yeah, Fred. And thank you, Fred, for that question. Thank you for your kind comments. Nursing homes and assisted living facilities in general, that, you know, we have grave concerns, and certainly when we've seen spikes in number of positive tests, and unfortunately, in folks who've lost their lives, it's typically here in Pinellas, it's been in those facilities. And so we're working closely with the Department of Health in the county to work with the owners and the folks that run those facilities to make sure that they are following the proper protocols to keep their residents safe, that if there is positive tests that are happening, that we're getting folks, if they're showing symptoms, I should say, that they're getting tested quickly so that, they can be isolated and quarantined when needed. There have been arrangements made for alternative living facilities for those folks for quarantine purposes. So the Department of Health is really paying particular attention to those facilities, knowing that the residents are high risk, and that population, if positive tests do happen, is the ramifications of those can be so much more significant, and so yeah, a lot of attention being paid to that.
All right. Well, thank you for that question, Fred. And Mayor Kreisman, thank you for your answer. Rick Kreisman is the mayor of St. Petersburg, and we're talking to him about all things coronavirus today with the reopening of the state in phase one this morning. And we're taking your phone calls. Here's the number to call, 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. You're listening to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM. Or WMNF.org or the WMNF app. And my name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host. And Arlena is on from Seminole, is calling in. So, hi, Arlena. Did I get your name right?
Hi. How are you guys today?
We're doing great.
Yeah, I really like the person that's conducting the interview, Sean Canaan. I want to thank you right here. And, Mayor, can you please explain to me what exactly the CDC is and why they are making us abort our civil liberties?
Sean, can you repeat that question?
I didn't catch. I heard you ask about the CDC, but
can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. And what about the CDC?
Can you, as the mayor, can you please explain what is the CDC and why is it that we have to accept their rules and avoid our civil liberties? Can you please explain to me your understanding of the CDC?
Arlena, thanks for the question. So Mayor Kreisman, she's asking about the federal CDC, and she says, well, I don't know if you heard, but she asked why we should respect what they say and give up civil liberties.
Yeah, so the CDC is the Center for Disease Control, and, this is an organization it's a federal organization, and it's made up of healthcare experts who study things like pandemics and other viruses, and I think really their job in a lot of ways is to keep all of us safe from things like this through the research that they do and the studies that they've done on how best to address when something like this has come up. I understand those who have a hard time with losing the ability to move as freely as we're all accustomed to. None of us like an order that tells us what we can and we can't do, but that is a civilized society. That's how we function. And the number one job and most important job of government is to keep the residents safe. And so the restrictions that, whether they've come down from the governor, from the county, or the city level, all the restrictions that we've put in place have all been with the goal and the intent of trying to make sure that our residents are kept safe during all this. The thing that's so different about this COVID-19 from, because people, I remember when this all first started, and even friends of mine asked me, well, how is this different than the flu that comes every year? And that kills people. And yeah, it does. But the three biggest differences between the flu and COVID-19 are, one, that there isn't, unlike the flu, there's no vaccine that you can take on the front end that either helps you avoid getting it during flu season or minimizes the impact of it on you. The second thing is that if you contract it and you get it, unlike the flu, there isn't anything that you specifically can take to help get you through it and minimize its impact on you. And then the third thing, and this is the biggest of all of them, is how it spreads. This COVID-19, the contagion factor is so much higher than so many other flus or colds or any of that stuff. It spreads so easily and so quickly that so many more of our residents, especially those who are at risk, are susceptible, and that puts them at a greater risk than they would be necessarily to just the flu that comes every year.
I guess this
so that's why we pay attention to organizations like the CDC. It's all about trying to keep our residents safe.
Rick Christman is the mayor of St. Petersburg. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. And the number to call in is 813-239-9663. We'll go back to the phones in just a second, but I want to read this quick text message that came in from the 813 area code. I'm not going to be able to read the whole thing, but I think it's a good starting point for the conversation. Part of what this text says is that there are many people who still believe the pandemic is a hoax and they go out in public without a mask. This person suggests you wear a mask out of respect for everyone else. It's not as much for your own protection, though. That benefit will come around eventually if everyone complies. So, Mayor Christman, what's your recommendation? And I don't think there are any requirements in the city of St. Petersburg, but what do you know about masks and people wearing masks in public?
Yeah, we have not required masks to be worn by all residents when they go out of their homes or people that are working in businesses. But we certainly are strongly encouraging it. And what we know about masks is this, and it really depends on the kind that you're wearing. I mean, the N95s, which are, the one that of all the masks are going to prevent you as the wearer of that mask from getting the virus. The supply on those is still, not as abundant as we would like, where everyone can have one. And we want to make sure that all of our first responders, all of our healthcare workers, that they have them before anyone else because they're dealing with those who, are diagnosed and are symptomatic. But any other mask that you wear, the main benefit is to everyone around you. So if I'm wearing, and if you've seen a photo of me, you may have seen me wearing one that was made out of from my alma mater at the University of Florida. So I wear that mask not because it's going to protect me from someone else, but primarily because if I'm asymptomatic and I don't know that I'm a carrier, I don't want anyone else that's around me getting the virus. And so that mask helps me from transmitting, if I'm a carrier, it to anyone else. And so if all of us are wearing them, we all help reduce the spread and the risk of it being spread. But having said that, I think it's also super important that we don't lose sight of social distancing. Aside from staying home, that is still the thing that you can do that's the most effective at helping to reduce the spread. And so if you social distance and you wear masks, we are going to do a really good job at preventing community spread and surges in our hospitals if we do that.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us on WMNF's Midpoint today, Mayor Christman.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, I'm glad you came on. Thank you. Rick Christman is the mayor of St. Petersburg, and I want to thank everyone who called, emailed, and texted. If you're on hold and I didn't get to you, please call back next time. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to it on our website, wmnf.org/news. You can also join the conversation on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank help from Rob Lori, DT, and Miss Julie. I'm Sean Canaan. Stay tuned now for Latino 54, and that's coming right up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope that you can donate tomorrow to Giving News Day on WMNF Tampa. Thanks for listening.